It's that easy to receive a healing. You don't have to beg God for a healing. It's already in the atonement. He already said it. By his stripes, we are healed. He already said it. I'm through begging God for what he already promised. I'm not begging him no more. I'm just going to receive my healing. I'm going to receive my deliverance. I'm going to receive whatever I need from God. He already promised it in his book. His word doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. My God. Hallelujah. I want to thank that choir. I needed that for my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know the secret yet. There's something about worshiping God, saints. It's something about giving God glory, honor, and praise. Somebody said in my church, well, you're a pastor now. Do you really have to dance? Do you really have to worship? I said, I wouldn't want to go to a church if the pastor couldn't pick him up and put him down and give God some glory. Because if anybody ought to worship God, it ought to be the man of God. If anybody that's been blessed by God, trust me, it's the man of God. And because I don't know what else to do, I just decided that in my own feeble body, I'm going to give him some glory, some honor, some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This last time, when the doctor said you're going to die, I told him, well, get out the way then. If I'm going to die, I might as well die worshiping. Move on out the way. They thought I was crazy. I said, get on out the way, because I run you over, baby, worshiping God. Since I'm going to die, I just started praising him and giving him some glory. They think I'm crazy. Yes, I am crazy, but not as he supposed. Now when I walk in the doctor's office, they say, here come the miracle man. I said, no, that's the miracle God. You better stop playing with this thing, y'all. My God, you may be seated. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I feel good in my sanctified soul. Hallelujah. See, I was born in the fire. I refuse to live in the smoke. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. I was born in the fire. It was red hot. Some people say, well, when you get older in the Lord, it'll simmer down. You'll get comfortable. I was a new convert when someone told me that. I made it my life ambition to never get comfortable. It's been 27 years. It feels like 27 days. Because one thing I refuse to do, I don't care how sick I was, I would crawl this big old body to church. I said, God, if I can just get with the saints, if I can get with your people, and if they begin to worship you, God, if you would give me strength. There was times I didn't have strength to lift my arms, but somehow I propped them up on the back of the pew. I said, God, give me an opportunity to worship you yet one more time, yet one more time to praise you. And every time I praised him, this old body got stronger and stronger and stronger. And now I'm here to tell you that I'm completely healed. I'm completely delivered. Only thing I can tell you is by praise and by worship. Mm-mm-mm. My God, my God, my God. Let me hurry up. Whew. God bless you in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry. I wish I was more sophisticated and, you know, prim and proper and a little. I'll try to get it together somehow. Whew, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I used to tell Bishop Tamil, man, we got to put showers in the men's bathroom. After worship, man, it'd be hot out here. He never did, but hopefully one day they'll listen. As we build our sanctuary, I'm going to put a shower in the men's room. But praise God, I do greet you in the wonderful name of the Lord. It is such an honor. You know, I could go anywhere amongst us apostolics, and I feel so at home. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but because at home, I'm crazy. I am crazy. But praise God, I felt that liberty this morning. I do want to thank the great leadership of this church. You can't do what you do without great leadership. If you don't have anything else to pray for, you better pray for the men on this platform. And Bishop Grant, in his absence, he did call me today. I'm sorry I missed his call, but I was taking my afternoon nap, you know. When you get over 45, afternoon naps is an absolute essential. Praise God. I remember I could worship God for 3 hours and say, is worship over? Oh, my God. Now 3 minutes, I'm like, oh, my God, are they still going? Oh, Jesus. But bless God, I do greet you in the wonderful name of the Lord. I am so glad that Apostolic Worship Center came here to hear the goofy pastor. My Lord, you would think you guys get enough of me. But it is a blessing to be here. Absolute blessing. If you would turn your attention to God's word, I do want to talk to you real briefly about being God's earthly partner. This is a concept that I heard a minister talk about it. And he used this concept. He said, God's earthly partner, that wasn't a topic of his message. I heard that about 20 years ago. And my wife and I decided, what does that mean to be God's earthly partner? And I began to search through the scriptures. And I found there were certain people that God spoke to in the Old Testament and the New Testament, because they were God's earthly partner. And I believe I feel that same anointing, that same authority, that same ministry here tonight. There are some people that God is looking for that he wants to make his earthly partner. That means a lot to me, to know the God of all creation who could just say, let there be, and there it was. He didn't have to call for Jack's Lumber Supply. He didn't have to call for Julio's Heating Supply. He didn't have to do any of that. He just said, let there be, and there it was. He created from things that did not exist. When we make stuff, it's from stuff that already exists. But the God that we serve just said, let there be. There it was. I want to be partnered up with that one. That's the kind of friend I want on my side. You know, I'm from the hood. I know what side to get on. You get on the big dude side, the one you know that's going to win. I'm saying on Jesus' side. Amen, amen. People ask me all the time, don't you feel like backsliding sometimes? I said, are you kidding me? What's out there? Drugs, alcohol, perversion, backslide, to go back to that? Are you kidding me? People are normally bombed out their gourd. They can't walk because they're drunk. I tell our church all the time, yo, I'm okay with you drinking, just drinking new wine. Instead of being drunk on all wine, get slapped happy drunk up here at the altar. Step up to the bar, baby, and drink and get slapped happy drunk on new wine. If you're going to be drunk, you might as well get the new wine. You can drink as much of this as you want. It would be so wonderful if somebody just staggered out of here because they so slapped happy drunk on the Holy Ghost and they can't stand up. I wish to God that somebody would just get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hope I get to my message. I'm trying. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Praise God. You know, Brother Thomas and Brother Grant told me to be myself. I was thinking to myself, they really don't know me, obviously. They may want to change that. But I have... this weekend, if I could say this real quick, was such a blessing to both me and my assistant, Brother Vincent. It was an absolute blessing. Brother Mark and Sister Christina, and I call them their motley crew, amen, out there just snatching folks. Now, these folks are crazy. They just, come on over, they just snatching folks and bringing folks up. I'm like, my God, people after my own heart. I love it. And my Lord, it was so much fun. Just sitting down there, I had a chance to talk to the kids. My wife used to say, man, you over 40, but you never grew up. Yeah, somehow I got stuck in puberty. I never grew up. I like hanging out with the kids. Had a chance to pray with the little kids and talk to them and pray for them and told them to do good in school, be obedient to their parent. And a couple of women have received the Holy Ghost. And just the unity of that whole thing. The next time they do that, man, there have to be so many people out there saying, Brother Mark, Sister Christina, you know, Brother Thomas, what can I do to help? There ought to be so many. Man, it was a blessing. You missed out. You missed out. But I appreciate you guys inviting me to come do what I love doing, and that's talking to folks. I don't care if you're black, white, Samoan. I don't care if you're human. I'm talking. Praise God. I love it. I love it. Let's stand real quick for the reading of the word. I guess I should be politically correct. Ah, Lord Jesus. You know, I was in the barbershop yesterday, day before yesterday, and they were talking, and they was talking politics. I thought, how am I going to get in this conversation? And somebody had nerves to say, there's no such thing. Indirectly, they said that. There's no such thing as a black Republican. And he was cutting my hair. I could hear the razors going. Because I think my eyebrow went up like, what? I never told them my choice of my political persuasion. But they know what I am by the time I left. Yes. That was fine. Man, I tell you, I told him, I said, my God, I can't vote for anybody that support abortion. Are you serious? And I just began to talk to them. I never told them what I was, you know, going to be politically correct. They said, man, you talk like a Republican. And I said, really? Oh, my God. I said, no, I'm talking Bible. Call yourself what you want, but let's talk Bible. Amen. And I can't support anybody that don't support the things of God. Praise God. I hope I'm not out of order. I'm sorry. I'm just political. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Jumping down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he woman and brought her unto the man. I like that. That sounds good. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Lord, in your mighty name, Father, we pray that you would have your way. We want to talk about being your earthly partner. I thank you for the leadership of this church and for the vision that they have of reaching anybody and everybody and all people of all colors and nationalities. That is so inspirational to me, oh God. Lord, I'm asking that you would bless them. Pour out a blessing on this congregation, on these people, oh Father. And Lord God, help me to teach your word tonight, oh Father. You know I'm not much of a preacher, but God, I love teaching your word. As I often say, they don't need to hear from my raspy voice, but we got to hear from the throne of grace. We got to hear from you. This world is upside down, is going crazy. But we got to hear from you tonight, oh Father. I just want to be your earthly partner. If nothing else matters, if I'm not your partner here on earth, if I'm not carrying out what you designed for me to do, it doesn't matter. I can be rich, and it doesn't matter, but I just got to be your earthly partner. Got to be it, oh Father. And I pray that that's the prayer of all the saints here. In your name, Father, we do ask you. In Jesus' name. Can you all say in Jesus' name? Jesus. Praise God, you may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Jake. Thank you. Notice we're talking here about God's earthly partner. It's amazing to me how God decided, knowing that we will mess things up, or as we say in the neck of the woods where I come from, that we're going to jack it up. God knew. He knew we were going to jack it up. He knew it. But yet he made us anyway. Because I believe the heart of God wanted to have a partner. He wanted to have someone that he can be compassionate with and talk to us about his secrets and everything. Now, God decided that it's not good that man should be alone. So God made him a helper suitable. You know, in Proverbs 18:22, it says, whosoever findeth the wife findeth a good thing. Me and your wife is a good thing. Hello, somebody. I can see some women standing up now. That's right, brother. It says, findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. I often tell the single women at our church, I said, the Bible says, he that findeth the wife, not her that findeth the husband. Hello, somebody. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I better get some water. This is really good, y'all. And I often tell the women, I said, just hold on. You know, we have a sister that's teaching a class and is talking about how to find your Boaz and not your bozo. Too many women I'm married are finding bozos and not Boaz. Sister Scott is here right now. But she's teaching that class, how to find a Boaz, not a bozo. It's an unfortunate situation that so many of us are looking for that earthly partner without finding our heavenly partner first. And far too often we make mistakes because we don't give God the chance to be first and foremost in our life before we try to turn our life over to someone else. But Adam found a good thing. He found himself a wife. She was a blessing to him. Oftentimes, I realize, you know, how the command came to the man, not to the woman. He told Adam, you can eat of everything in this garden except one thing. And somehow, Adam allowed his wife to go there and be tempted. And he said, nada, nothing. I used to think Adam was on the other side of the garden raking leaves or something. That the Bible says she ate and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. Wow. Some earthly partner, huh? Women, I ain't trying to pastor you. I'm just trying to tell you. You better find a man that loves God more than he loves you. You better have somebody that's got some spiritual backbone and say, nope, we're not going there. We're not touching the unclean thing. We're on our way to church. We're going to pray today. We're going to get a hold to God. You better find somebody that loves God. Hello, somebody. I have a lot of women saying to me, they said, well, pastor, there's not a whole lot of men out there like you. And I know what they're saying. I said, yes, they are. They're down the street. Go look for them. We laugh at our church because since my wife passed, I am now at wife number 21. They have all prophesied. It's time for some water, y'all. They have all had this. And I said, wow, it's amazing. Wife number 10. God can't count. The scripture says he's the finder of the wife. I ain't looking. It's difficult to pastor in the hood, y'all. We got a lot of prophetesses. I was at my wife is buried not too far from our house, and often I go there, me and the girls, and we go and I sit down right where she's buried, and I just laugh. My wife had a wonderful sense of humor. And I say, girl, why did you leave me now? Do you see what's going on, woman? And I know the Bible says when you're dead, it's as though you're asleep. But nonetheless, if she could hear me, I know my wife is cracking up. I know she's probably sitting to people, go get them, mess with them. She was just that kind of a woman, just funny. But she really was my earthly partner. And we had an awesome, awesome relationship. And we decided early in our walk, why don't we turn this type of thing over to God? And we began to ask God, can we be your earthly partner? What is it that you would have us to do? What would you like, God? God, and I tell you, I said, God, let me put my life on the hold for you. What is it that you have for me? Can I please be your earthly partner? Far too often we go out and get all these degrees and do all kinds of things. And again, I'm not against them. I have all kinds of degrees. Name it, I got it. My wife used to say, you're forever learning. Boy, please come to the knowledge of truth soon. You're spending all the money. So I'm not against education. I taught high school math for a while. This young lady that was here directing choir, it's a teaser called Ivana Jean. I just gave all my students names. I just gave them names. Her name is Lavana, but I call Ivana Jean. And so for years, people thought her name was Ivana Jean, but it was just the name I gave her. But we taught class, and she could tell you, we will stop our math class. We will shut it down. We'll pray them all through the Holy Ghost and then get back to teaching math. And that's what I love doing. And so I'm not against education, but there's something I always felt. God, what is it that you would have me to do? I see how you're using my pastor. I see how you're using the ones that brought me to church. But what would you have me to do? And God began to deal with my heart. You know, be careful what you ask for, because God does answer prayer. You know how in the late 80s, early 90s, everybody was singing this song, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. We did not know what we were singing. If we really knew what we were singing, we wouldn't have been singing it. I literally changed the words. I said, God, if you can use anything, use Elliot. God, if you can use anything, use Martha. Because now I recognize it's not so easy. But we were just loving God and tears are coming down. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. But even with joking aside, that is still my vote. He's not done with me yet. If I can name all the stuff that we're doing at our church, God is still not done. We've done things where we've helped people get their GEDs. We sent them to school. Single moms now have jobs. They have educations. They're able to take care of themselves. We have tutored them. We have watched their kids. We babysat. We tutored them and got them an education, a GED, sent them to college. At one point in our church, we had 6 people in college, some of them in the local. I believe in educating and helping yourself. I believe in self-improvement. I really do. I used to tell the people, come on now, I'm working full time. It's hard to be a teacher and pastor, y'all. You need to go get yourself a degree or something so I can go full time and you can pay me a salary. I had ulterior motive, I ain't gonna lie. But in the midst of all of that, I would tell them, while you're improving yourself and while you're getting better jobs and degrees and while you're getting all that stuff, always keep in the back of your mind, God, I want to be your earthly partner. If you would turn with me quickly to Genesis chapter 6, I promise you I will do my best not to be long. I just like saying that. I tell you, my Bishop Tamil always said that it didn't mean nothing. Nothing. Same thing with me. I take after the bishop. Means nothing at all. But it just sounds good. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 7, it says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and the heart of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Notice what the Bible says about the condition of man's heart. It was only evil continually. Sound like the world we live in? That stuff that happened in Benghazi, 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11. The stuff that just happened in Brookfield, Wisconsin, Brookfield, suburb of Milwaukee over there. That mess, all that stuff that's happening. It seems like the heart of man is evil continually. But in the midst of all of that, the scripture says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. It is very possible in the world that's gone upside down, a world that's calling right wrong and wrong right, a world that's calling good evil and evil good, is very possible in the world like that to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I take my vote with Noah. I want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord in this world that seemed to be upside down. I don't care what anybody say. My family said to me 27 years ago, oh, it's just another phase. He'll get over it. But this phase has lasted 27 years, and I believe it's going to take me another 27. Because I have found favor in the eyes of God, and I don't want to do anything that's going to jack it up, if I can say it that way. I don't want to do anything that's going to stop God's favor upon my life. Saints, do you want to be his earthly partner? Noah was God's earthly partner. Notice he said, Noah, I'm going to do a thing in this land. And he began to talk to Noah and tell Noah that I'm going to destroy this earth. Notice there was three angels that came down. One was Jehovah, stayed with Noah, began to talk with him. I'm sorry, I got stories, that was Abraham, so I'm getting ahead of myself. But with Noah, God did speak to him. And God said this, I want you to build an ark. Notice, though, there had never rained. If you read in Genesis 2 and 6, the water was just a mist in the ground. So when he said it was going to rain, it was a new concept. But Noah wanted to be God's earthly partner. So when God said it was going to rain, a new concept, Noah did it. The Bible says that Noah began to build that ark. Notice God gave him specific instructions. Earthly partners, God give specific instructions. I preached a message called, Are We the Architect or the Carpenter? Using Noah as an example. Being in the trades for quite some time, I know how to read schematics and blueprints and so on and so forth. And I know, being a journeyman, sheet metal worker, that I have no right to change where I'm going to put metal in the house without the instructions of the architect. Saints of God, we are not the architect. We are the carpenter. We have to get permission from the architect before we change anything. So if the word said you got to be baptized in Jesus' name, I ain't changing it because I'm not the architect. I am the carpenter. And I'm going to build according to the specific specifications of that blueprint. Amen. We are not the architect. We are the carpenter. So if God's word says do it thus and so, it is thus and so. I want to be God's earthly partner. I'm not going to take over God's job. God spoke to Noah and told him what to do. And from that, can you just imagine Noah building this ark? I can see Ned the wino coming from the neighborhood tavern saying, look, man, what are you doing building this big old boat? Are you crazy? And Noah said, it's going to rain. Can you hear people say it's going to what? Going to who, what, where? Rain? Never heard of it. But Noah believed God. Regardless of what anybody else said, he believed God. And because he believed God, God began to tell him what he was going to do. He was going to destroy the earth. And he was going to use Noah to start over. Saints, I wonder what would happen if God began to speak to us thus and so. What if God began to say, I need you to partner with me? I wonder if God said, I'm looking for a man, as it said in Ezekiel 22. He said, I sought for a man. I'm looking, but I found none. And because I found no one to stand in the gap, people met their destruction. Listen, saints, are you an earthly partner that if God would speak to your heart to stand in the gap, that God can speak to you so that you can intercede for such situations? God needs earthly partners. He's looking for you, saints. He is looking for an earthly partner. An earthly partner. I want to be that. I want God to speak to me. I have a friend in the scriptures called Abraham. I love him, Abraham. Let's go to Genesis 18. Remember keeping this in mind, God's earthly partner. I'm going somewhere. Just hang on in there with me. In Genesis 18. Verses 16 through 18, it says this. And the men rose up from this and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed of him. Notice what it says. He said, can I hide this from Abraham? It appears to me that Abraham was an earthly partner. Now, I'm just goofy because I get tired of reading about all this stuff in the Bible and it's not happening in my life. I get sanctified jealous. Why are you blessing Abraham? Why are you talking to him and not talking to me like that? I want God to talk to me like he did his servant Abraham. Notice, this is so unique, how God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of the multitude, or father of many nations, before the man even had any children. He changed his name because the scripture says, for I know Abraham will. Do God know that you will? If God speak to your heart, can he trust the fact that you will do what he asked? God's earthly partner. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And I love how he talked God all the way down. And it seemed as if God was just like waiting. Come on, talk to me. Tell me. I don't want to destroy the people, but I have to. You know, I heard someone say this about God. And he said, God knew that man was going to mess up. And so God's judgment said that I have to destroy man. But his love said, you can't. But his judgment said, I must. But his love said, you can't. I believe judgment and love got into a tangle. And when they collided, we got mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Even when we mess up, God is still looking for his earthly partners to stand in the gap and say, my judgment say I must judge them, but my love is saying no. Can somebody pray so that I don't judge them? Can God trust you? Can God trust you, saints? I want to be God's earthly partner. And as God's mercy came down, but because God could not even find 10 or so righteous, Sodom and Gomorrah met that destruction. But I wonder if there had been earthly partners on this land. I wonder had there been someone here to intercede. I wonder had there been someone here to stand in the gap for those lost souls. If God would have repented and kept back his judgment. I know a lot of you are waiting for God to come. I have so many unsaved family members. I understand why you want him to come, but I'm not ready for him to come yet. I still got a father that's not quite saved. I still got a stepmom that's not living for God. I still got 4 or 5 siblings that are not in the house of God. I got a host over 40, 45. Now the niece was born last night. I have 46 nieces and nephews now. Most of them are not serving God. Lord, although I want you to come, but not yet, God. I got family members that don't know you. Lord, help me to be your earthly partner, to stand in the gap for my lost family, for my lost neighbors. Saints, can God trust you to be an earthly partner? He's looking and he's searching. Is it you, saint? Is it you? God wants an earthly partner. And you know what happens? Most of us say, you don't understand, preacher. You don't understand. I got so much going on in my life. It's hard to be an earthly partner. God is not being fair to me. I always tell the saints of my church, you're talking to the wrong cat. Talking to the wrong dude. I understand tough times. Do I ever understand tough times? Not only do y'all know that my wife passed, but she was sick nearly 10 years. My wife was not able to take care of the kids. I had to cook and clean. And trust you me, my daughters had hair. My God, was it thick and coarse. Man, I had to learn how to braid, how to French braids. I was hooking them sisters up. You don't understand. I was teaching school, leave teaching. I would go tutor, from tutoring, go to Huntington Learner Center and tutor there. Leave there, go drive for a company called QPS and take a lot of people, get home to their jobs, get home at 1 o'clock in the morning, get up at five for prayer and start the process over again. I did that for 4 or 5 years, every single day, but I still taught Bible studies. I still won souls. I still preached the gospel. I still did it because I had to have something to keep my soul safe. But talking about hard times, baby, I understand hard times. We lost our home. We lost our cars. We lost our health. It seemed like we lost everything, but we did not lose our relationship with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. Hard? Yes, it's hard. But I decided I'm going to be God's earthly partner. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how tough it is. I'm going to be God's earthly partners, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't want to have some weak relationship with Jesus Christ. He's been that good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. I owe him that. I decided I'm going to be his earthly partner. Tough? My God, it was tough. My wife was in the hospital for 5 months, but we never missed a beat. I got those kids up. Got them to school. We got them to church. I thought, I've got to keep some normalcy in their life. And I said, God, I know I'm your earthly partner. Just give me the strength. I'm not even asking that you deliver me from it. Just go through it with me. And God did not take me from it, saints, but he went through it with me. As Brother Forpar wrote that book, The Fourth Man in the Fire, he was the fourth man in my fire. Because I have decided to be God's earthly partner. And God is speaking to your hearts tonight. He's calling some more folk. He's calling some more people to be his earthly partner. When that's not up here dancing, singing, I gotta praise just for the sake of it. God is calling us to go deeper and deeper still. Do you really gotta praise and you gotta get it out? Is that really true in your life? If that is true, then you would take your vote with me and desire to be God's earthly partner. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were God's earthly partner. Said, God, we know you're able to do it, but even if you don't, we're not going to bow down. I always read that story, and I got this mind. My mind is very vivid. And I look at these men. The Bible says they were bound hand and feet. And these men were led to the furnace. But don't forget, the furnace was turned up 7 times hotter. And when those soldiers opened the door, they fell dead. Have you ever thought about it? Who put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire? Remember, they were bound. Can you see them just up there, right into the door? And those soldiers fall dead. They said, well, boys, here we go. Into the fire they went. A lot of us don't want to go in the fire. But notice what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went in the fire bound, but it was in the fire that they got loosed. A lot of us don't want fire in our life, but it's in the fire that God is going to burn off hatred. It's in the fire that God burn off lust. It's in the fire that God burn off unforgiveness. It's in the fire. It's the fire. And some of you don't want to go through the fire. Don't say, God, deliver me from this fire. Say, come on and go with me, Jesus. I know though the waters come to me, they shall not overtake me. Though I go through the fires, I shall not be burnt. I am your earthly partner. You're going to see me through this thing, God. God is going to see you through it, saint. I pray to God, I'm encouraging some of you because God is speaking expressly tonight. He said, I want some people to be my earthly partner. You ever read in Romans chapter 4, how it talked about Abraham, how the Bible told him? The Bible says that he was fully persuaded that God will do what he said. God told him at 99 that his 89-year-old wife is going to have a baby. Absolutely amazing. God always waits for the impossible. And I always read the scriptures, and again, there go my mind. Can you see this 99-year-old man going to the 89-year-old woman saying, hey, 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 baby. 99 years old. My God. A lot of stamina. Thank you, Jesus. I better get some water. Take that off the tape. I'm sorry. But the Bible says he didn't stagger at the promises of God, but was fully persuaded. He did not count the deadness of Sarah's womb. If God said it, he said it's coming to pass. Saints, if God said it, it's coming to pass. I don't care what the doctor said, it's coming to pass. I don't care what you feel like, it's coming to pass. If God said it, if God said it, saints, if God said it, it shall come to pass. If God said it, my God is coming to pass. Ha ha. My God, let me hurry up through this thing. Hurry up, because I believe God is ready to do it. Real quickly, Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos 3 and 7. One of my very favorites. I say this every verse I read. Oh, that's my very favorite verse of scripture. They all are my favorite, but this one really sticks out to me. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Notice what this scripture says. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Look, I'm nosy for the things of God. I want to know where God going, where he doing, why he doing it. When it comes to the things of God, I am nosy. And surely the Lord would do nothing except he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. The intercessors at home have been calling me and texting me saying, Pastor, we've been interceding. There's some things going on. We don't understand what's happening in the spirit realm. And I don't either, I tell them. I said, but we got to keep praying. We got to bring this thing through. And before you know it, we get this thing with us, the psych temple that man got shot. But we knew something was happening. God was trying to tell us something. So the saints were interceding. Thank God that something, that man didn't have the liberty to do everything he wanted to do. A couple of weeks ago, the saints in prayer again, in intercessory prayer, said, Pastor, same thing is happening. I said, keep praying, saints. I don't know what's going on. And about 3 days later, that situation happened in Brookfield. Surely the Lord will do nothing except he reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Look, I'm tired of keeping this Bible right there. I'm tired of that. I'm going to put the Bible on shoe leather. I want to walk the Bible. I want to talk the Bible. I am tired of reading about it in the Word, and it's not happening in my life. I want it today, not tomorrow. I want it today. I want God to bless me today. I want to see the sick healed today. I want to see the dead raised up today. I'm not waiting for tomorrow. I want to see it today. Surely the Lord would do nothing except to reveal his secrets unto the servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. Give me about 5 more minutes. I like saying that. It don't mean nothing. It makes you think you're going to get to the restaurant sooner. So, amen. Praise God. Lord Jesus, forgive me, saints. I'm sorry. I am goofy. I got to be. That's right. I promised my assistant I would be professional. Sorry. Okay, I got it together now. In Matthew chapter 7, it won't last long, trust me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We're going to come to a quick close. I really am serious about this, about being God's earthly partner. You know, when it all comes down to it, saints, we have nothing. Only thing you really got is your relationship with God. So just like God gave Adam a helper suitable, why don't you be God's helper suitable? God saw it wasn't good that man should be alone. It's also not good that God should be alone. Why don't you team up with God and do the things that God has designed for you to do? You know, you're the only one. You're your worst enemy. You're your worst enemy. I love when people tell me, You can't do that. I have never been rebellious, except when people say you can't do something. When they say you can't do it, I say, oh, okay. They say you don't have the skill to do that. Oh, okay. Some of it is true. When I first got married, my wife was the mechanic of the family. Trust you me, she was. I am not. I could drive a car, put gas in it. I think I know how to change the oil. I think. In fact, she taught me, it's a shame, but my wife taught me how to change a tire when she was 8 months pregnant with my first child. I didn't know how. She was the mechanic. We would be driving to church, and I would hear the noise. I'd just turn the music up louder. She would say, Marshall, you can't do that. I'm like, yes, we can. The car's still moving. Let's keep going. She said, turn it down. She said, don't you hear that? I'm like, hear what? She said, the knocking. Do you have oil in the car? I said, oh, you're supposed to put oil in it? I kid you not. We were at a gas station when my son was 6 months, and I was trying to be really a Christian to give this guy a jump. I got the cables on the right part. I know to put the red on, you know, the positive and the negative. I got it right. And I was sitting there. It was about 45 minutes later, and his car wouldn't take a jump. So my wife got aggravated. She said, Marshall, is his car not working? I said, no, honey, it's not working. She said, you want to know why? I said, well, why, Miss Mechanic? She said, well, Marshall, you have to turn your car on. That is not a parable. That's the truth. I'm telling you. She said, you're going to freeze my baby. If it wasn't for my son in the car, we'll be still sitting there waiting for this car to get jumped. So I'm not quite the mechanic. I know what my role is. I am not a mechanic. Thank God I have mechanics in my church. One of them is here tonight. And every time I call him, Fred, can you help me with this car? And Fred, know it means, can you come and fix the car for me? Because it's not helping him. I don't even hold the light correct. He's fixing on the car, and I got the flashlight on the top of his head. He said, no, move the light over, Marshall. I get the preacher, oh, Fred, God gave me this great thought, and I'm jumping and shouting. He's fixing. He said, Marshall, I appreciate it, Pastor, but I need the light. Yeah, I'm not a mechanic. I recognize there's some things I'm just not going to be good at. I don't care to be good at it. Don't want to be good at it. In fact, on the way down here, the check engine light came on the car. I said, oh, Lord, just get me to church, please. Just get me to church. And then after this morning service, it went off. I don't know what that means. Just get me back home, God. That's all I need. Because in Milwaukee, we do have bus service, so I'll catch the bus. But it's one thing I do know something about, not mechanics, but I know something about being God's earthly partner. That's one thing I do know. Saints, in fact, we'll forget that verse in Matthew. Let me just end with this. God wants to sup with us so much. Oftentimes, my wife and I would go to bed talking about God and his anointing and how he saved us and brought us through things and how he's healed her body. And he did so many miraculous things. When she first slipped into a coma, the doctors were going to put a trach, and she woke up out of that coma somewhat. And she began to speak in tongues. And they didn't trach her until she finished praying. And she began to pray in tongues and pray for me and pray for the kids. And we had three foster kids. She called us all by name. And when she finished, they put the trach in. They were able to, and she was in a coma for about 5-6 weeks. She eventually came home. And when we went back a couple of years later to change out her tracheotomy or whatever it's called, the doctor saw us. And she said, you don't remember me, but I remember you. She said, I'm the doctor that was initially trached you. She said, but I made them stop. She said, because you were speaking in tongues. She said, I'm backslidden Pentecostal. She said, I was. She said, I've heard you speak with tongues. She said, I was in a backslidden position and living an alternative lifestyle. And I kind of figured what that was because she was kind of butch. And I don't mean to be negative. I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry if that came out wrong. I don't mean it that way. I'm sorry. But, and she began to talk to us and say, I have repented. She came from an Assemblies of God church. We're not sure what church she went back to, but she said, I got out of that lifestyle. She said, I've repented of my sins, and I'm serving God. I'm no longer doing those things. She said, I wanted to say thank you. She said, I didn't see you till 2 years later. Even in my wife's weakened condition, she was still winning souls. We always said, God, let us be an earthly partner. And when she was at St. Mary's Hospital, she was there for 5 months. She won 3 doctors and 6 nurses to the Lord, all filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Even with the tracheotomy. But she determined she's going to be God's earthly partner. Have you made that decision yet? Do you want to be God's earthly partner? Saints, nothing matters. Her and I, let's stand. We'll be in our bedroom talking about the things of God. The musicians would come or the praise team. I know I'm ending in kind of slow, but I want to end on the high praise. I really do. We just shot out the box. I want to end that same way. But let me tell you this. We would often talk about God visiting us and being his earthly partner. And we would go to sleep thinking about God, and we would wake up at about 3:30 in the morning, often, and the presence of God would be permeating our room. And one time we saw like 3 pillars, and I'm not talking about Father, Son, Holy Ghost, okay? I'm not talking about Trinity. I'm a one God man, trust me, one God. But we saw like 3 pillars would look like fires in our room. And we knew it was a manifestation of the presence of God. And her and I got up and we just worshiped God till almost 6 in the morning. And I challenged our church last week. I said, I wonder what would happen if you would just decide to be God's earthly partner. If you decide to have more of Jesus, would he come and visit you in your room? And that night, about 3 people text me and say, Pastor, it works. It works. I have a manifestation of the presence of God in my bedroom. And I just began to worship God. Saints, he wants us to be his earthly partners. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, if you decide to be God's earthly partner, he will speak to you. He will visit you. Just the other day, before we came here, God woke me up. And his presence was in my room. And he spoke to me and he said, I'm going to heal this weekend. I'm going to deliver people this weekend. I believe. You know how you do your altar calls. You have a certain section. You know what to do. I believe if you really need healing, if God didn't already heal you, we're going to trust God for what he said. You're going to be healed tonight. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I believe it's your time. It's your time. It's your time to stop holding back on God and become an earthly partner with him. If you need anything else, you know how you do it. But decide tonight that you want to be God's earthly partner. I don't want to read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to read about Marshall. I don't want to just read about other people. I want to read about me being God's earthly partner. You know how you do it. Anybody need the Holy Ghost? We're not going to beg God. You're just going to receive it. The Holy Ghost fell where they were sitting. In the name of Jesus. Any earthly partners? Are there any takers? Any takers?